Good morning. It's always an honor for me. It's always an honor. In the Bible, there's a story about God using a donkey to speak. So it's always an honor for me if God wants to use me to speak. So I'm very excited about the message I want to share. And I just want to, first before I start, take you to the scripture that Andrea also used last week. It's our theme scripture in Proverbs 3. Proverbs is an amazing book for those of you who've never spent time in that. It's there's so many jewels and diamonds that you can just find of wisdom and pearls of wisdom. This specific one says, happy is the man or the woman who finds wisdom, and the man or the woman who gains understanding. Her ways, that is wisdom's ways, are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her or hold her fast. So this is what we are talking about in this specific series. Just how wisdom can enrich your life and can lead you on a path of peace. So how many of you have ever built a physical house or renovated? Just raise your hands. Quite a lot of you. How many would still like to build your dream house? Oh, even more. Okay. They say that people build twice. Their first time, which is also their last time. We've built a house in Cape Town, and I must be very honest with you. Sorry for those of you still want to build. But I think if we ever now buy or want to move into our own place, we're renting at the moment, we want to just buy and move in. I don't even want to renovate. It's amazing to build something to exactly the way you want it, but it's not for the faint-hearted, is all I want to say. And, you know, when it comes to a physical house, we can build and move out, you know, or we can make renovations, so we can test and try and walk out if it's not exactly the way we wanted it. When it comes to building a relationship, which is almost like a house, when it comes to building a family, it's not so easy just to walk out. We all know that. And if we do walk out, there's huge consequences if we just walk away. Andre's parents got divorced when he was in primary school. And it had a huge effect on his whole family. And the irony is, we still look at his parents and think they are a great couple, a great fit, a great, you know, they have so much in common. And I firmly believe that if they had built their house, their relationship, if they had applied godly principles, things would have been very different today for them as a family. Our family gatherings with them would have looked very differently. And God is faithful to restore, but it has never been God's intention for us to walk away from a family or from a relationship where there's covenant, where we become one. And, you know, I wish with all of my heart that his parents could have applied godly wisdom in their family. It would have been so much different. And his parents are amazing people. And we still think that, you know, they are great. They would have been such a great team. And it's so sad for me if I realize it. What could have been? What could have been if we knew the right things to do? If we have applied godly wisdom. So this is what I want to speak about this morning. How to build a house with wisdom. There's a scripture in Proverbs that I want to focus on this morning. Proverbs 14 verse 1. It says, The wise woman builds a house, but the foolish one pulls it down with her own hands. The wise woman builds a house, but the foolish one pulls it down with her own hands. And no one of us want to pull our houses down, but we sometimes do because of ignorance. And this is what I want to spend time on this morning. We all want to build our houses. We all want our houses to stand, our families to flourish, our kids to make it in life, mom and dad to stay together, not because it's the right thing to do, because they want to be together. This is all of our desires. But sometimes, because of ignorance and because of many things that happen in our relationships, we sometimes pull it down with our own hands instead of building it. And you see, God's ways are higher than our ways. If we are going to try and build our houses in our own strength, with our own ideas, our own ways, we're not going to, it's not going to stand. Because we see in part, we know in part, we understand in part, but God's ways are higher. Let me just take you to one other scripture in 1 Corinthians 1 verse 25. It says, because the foolishness of God, it's a very interesting scripture, the foolishness of God is wiser than men. And the weakness of God is stronger than men. Which means that sometimes something will look foolish from our perspective. But it's actually God's wisdom. Because the foolishness of God, something that can look foolish, but it's God's way, is wiser than us. It's wiser than men's ideas. And the weakness of God, something that can look weak, something like that can look like, you know, it's not how you're going to win this battle. It might look weak. It's stronger than our ideas. It's stronger. It's more solid than our ways or our ideas can ever be. So, how do we build our houses with wisdom? Let's get into the practical things. How do we build our houses with wisdom? And I am going to primarily speak to the ladies this morning, but these principles are universal. It's applicable to whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're male, female, young or old. It's principles, you know. And I wish sometimes that I could have learned many things in my life earlier, at an earlier stage. And sometimes we think, you know, these married, you know, these things are applicable to married people. I'm not married. But as I say, I wish I could have learned things earlier in my life. But I'm also thankful because Andre and I have heard many, many sermons and teachings that it's not really about married or not married. It's about a value system. You know, sometimes we think one day when I have kids, then I'm going to sort this out in my life. Or one day when I get my husband, then I'll sort this out. Or my wife. Why not make it part of your life right now? Why not make a value shift? You know, we can at the age of 10 already have the amazing values in our lives. So whether you're single or married or male or female this morning, I want to encourage you to make it applicable to wherever you are at. All right. So how do we build our houses with wisdom? First of all, we choose unity. I've spoken about unity before, but I want to give you a different angle this morning. Matthew 12 verse 25 says, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city or house divided against itself will not stand. I want you to note this. Every house divided against itself will not stand. Then there's a scripture in Psalms 133, you all would be familiar with that. It says, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren. That means brother, immediate relative, fellow man, countryman, or companion, which will definitely include your wife or your husband. Behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity, for there the Lord commands a blessing, life forevermore. So what does these two scriptures say? It says that a house divided will not stand, but where there's unity, God commands a blessing. Where there's unity, God commands a blessing. So even in the midst of issues, in the midst of problems, in the midst of challenges, if we choose unity, your house is going to stand. But if we choose division, if we allow our hearts to get divided, we're going to pull it down with our own hands. All right, so practical ways of choosing unity is if the moment we enter into a marriage relationship, we walk in covenant. There's a covenant relationship. What does that mean? It means that if your spouse has debt, if you enter into the marriage relationship, and now your husband or your wife has debt, that debt, I'm talking about physical debt, okay? You're owing money to the bank. That debt becomes your debts. If your husband or your wife, if they battle with anything, any weakness, any specific crisis, also in-laws, his parents become your parents. My parents became his parents. Okay, so it's a whole thing of, it's almost like a exchange that happens, but you become one. You become one, which means that you can't just walk away from the other person. You can't just say, sort out your issues, please, quickly. I want to go on with my life. Okay, this is the way we feel sometimes. You know, you're now stuck with this person with all these issues, and you didn't necessarily know it before you got married. And now, how do you deal with it? Well, covenant says, whatever the package is that you got, this is now yours as well. You're a team. You have to stick together. You have to stand together. You know, when we got married, Andre had a study loan, 75,000 rand. I still remember all the numbers. And it was 2001. Okay, it was 2001. It was lots of money that those days. And when he was still studying, when we got married, I worked. He was still studying. And his mom said to me, Sonika, you must now just keep track of all this money that you pay on behalf of Andre, because he must pay it back to you. And I said to her, Mom, it doesn't work like that in our relationship. What my money is his money, his debt is my debt. And I remember his mom looked at me like, where do you come from, you know? And she accepted it, but I could see that it was completely foreign to her. And I just realized right from the beginning, when we got married, that, you know, we promise it, and we vow it, actually, at our wedding day, that whatever is mine is yours, and, you know all those beautiful things we do at our wedding day, all those words. But when it comes to the practicalities, we want to hold on for dear life to what belongs to us. And if it's a good thing that comes into the marriage, oh, yes, then we want it. But if it's something that we don't like, it's like, it's your problem. Thank you. I'm not part of that. And if we are not going to walk in covenant, eventually we will pull our house down with our own hands. I had a colleague, also in Cape Town. She worked with me. She said to me, Sonika, I really want to go overseas with my husband. I mean, who doesn't want to go overseas with their husband? But she said to me, there's just one problem. He can't afford it, because he must pay off a study loan. She earned a lot of money, much more than he did. Now she said to me, they have this dilemma. And I thought, I can't hear what I can't figure this out. You are married to somebody that you really love. You want to go overseas, but now you can't because he can't afford it because he's got a study loan. What happened to covenant? What happened to everything you said at your wedding day? And maybe it seems foreign to you, but there are so many people. This is just a money issue. There's so many things where we don't want to be associated with that part of our spouse. And if we can change it, we'll change it tomorrow as quickly as possible. You see, and a very practical way of walking in covenant, I want you to listen carefully now, is letting go of your reputation, which is not always so easy, especially for a woman. It's very hard. You know, there's a story in 2 Samuel, about King David and his wife. You see, King David was very, very focused on God's house, and he was really passionately in love with God and God's presence and God's house. So the enemies of Israel, they took the Ark of the Covenant. Now, in the Old Testament, God lived in that was his little house, the Ark of the Covenant. All right? The enemies took this ark, but then in this specific story, they were bringing it back to Israel. So David was over the moon. You know, he was going crazy. He was dancing. He made a public spectacle of himself, okay? He was the king of Israel, and he just didn't care because he was so excited of God's house or his thing where he lived in coming back to Israel. Because you see, wherever that Ark of the Covenant went, that nation was blessed, whether they followed God or not. So David just wanted, he was so passionate about God and his house, he wanted it back. So he now is dancing. His wife, Michal, she's looking through the window at this whole thing. Okay? So this is where we pick up the story. Now, as the Ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, David's wife, she looked through a window like this. Please don't see me, please don't see me. You know, saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord. And what did she do? She despised him in her heart. It sounds like a very insignificant little thing, you know, that happened here. But you'll see later on in verse 23, it says, therefore, Michal, the daughter of Saul, had no children to the day of her death. This is not what I'm going to focus on. So I've just, when I look at this story, I realize that despising your husband because of his public behavior, it might seem like something innocent or something normal or something you just can't help it. You know, there my husband is telling that joke again. You know, sometimes Andre tells me, he tells me, Sonika, I'm going to share that story in church. So I said to him, okay, I'll put a hat on my head that Sunday. You know, sometimes we just so badly want our husband to be so close to us because your husband represents you and you represent him because you're one. Okay, the same is with your kids. You just want your kids to behave in public. Please, Lord, let them just behave. And you see, that thing can become a very, very big thing in our lives. It's not so easy to let go of what people think of your husband, what people think of your kids, because they represent you. And I believe Michal despised her husband in her heart because he made her look bad. That's what I think. The Bible doesn't spell it out. But I think she was embarrassed because she didn't want to look bad. She felt, what are people going to think of me? And the reason why she despised him is because she was focused on herself. It was more about herself and her own reputation than the marriage covenant. And this cut very deep. It cuts very deep. I mean, I had to evaluate myself many times in the past, you know. And I'm just saying we can't communicate to our husbands and ask him, please don't tell the joke again. We obviously, you know, there's in marriage, there's so much room for space for just sharing your heart and just being yourself, communicating your heart. But if we come to a point where we allow the devil to bring division in our hearts because our husbands or our children do not act exactly the way we want them to act, especially in public, it can lead to bitterness, it can lead to frustration, and ultimately division. Or we can go into a mode of, I want to control, I want to manipulate, I just want him to be like me. I want my kids just to behave the way I want them to behave. And you become controlling, and you become manipulative, and you become a woman who's not building a house, but pulling it down. Pulling it down. You see, Jesus proved his covenant relationship with us by letting go of his reputation. And we find that in Philippians 2, verse 5 to 7. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, Jesus was God, but he did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant and coming in the likeness of men. And you see, this is what should happen in our hearts when we walk in covenant. We should say, I'm willing to let go of my rights. I'm willing to let go of my reputation. I'm even willing to let go of what people think of me for the sake of covenant. It doesn't mean that you approve everything, you know, that your children or your husband do. I mean, they all tell these silly jokes sometimes, eh? It doesn't mean that necessarily that you completely, fully approve or agree. It's about fighting for your heart. It's about fighting for a relationship that is more important than your image. It's more important than what people think of you. It's more important that whether they think you are perfect or amazing or cool or not, you fight for a relationship. And this is what God did for us. He was willing to say, I'll go to earth, I'll become a man, I'll become a baby. I will endure everything. You see, is Mary wasn't even married to Joseph. So Jesus had to face that whole thing as a man, as a boy. You know, in the Jewish culture, that was a big thing. I mean, I can just imagine how he was treated as a little boy. And Jesus said, I'm willing to let go of my reputation because of covenant. Because I love you so much. Because of that relationship I want to have with you. I'm letting go of everything that I am. I'm God. I'm, you know, I could call the angels. I can just destroy all of you. I can just do what I want. But he said, no, covenant says I will let go of my reputation. Okay? So walking in covenant means we have to let go of our reputation. It also means that we have to extend grace. Grace. Proverbs 4 verse 7 to 9 says, wisdom is the principal thing, therefore get wisdom. And in all your getting, get understanding. Exalt her, that is wisdom. Exalt wisdom, and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace. She will place on your head an ornament of grace. A crown of glory she will deliver to you. So do we have grace for one another? Do we have grace for one another's mistakes, failures, weaknesses? Or do we, again, control and manipulate to change somebody just as quickly as possible into the person you want them to be? This is now for whether you're male or female, married or single. Do we have grace? Do we have grace for one another? Do we have grace? And I want to talk about something I've never spoken about in public. I really felt strongly God wanted me to talk about it. And this you can also make applicable to any kind of issue, especially in a marriage relationship. But what do you do, also if you're dating, what do you do if you discover that your husband or your boyfriend battles with pornography? What do you do? I've had so many people talking to me over the last 10, 12 years, and I've just realized that, you know, if we just talk about these things and we bring it into the light, we will build our houses and not pulling it down. So what is wisdom? I'm talking about a relationship now. It's a Christian couple, and you have a relationship with the Lord, both the man and the woman. What do you do? What do you do if you discover it? What do you do? How do you react? What is the godly way? We know about a situation years back. It must have been 8 or 9 years back, where the wife discovered that a man is battling, her husband's battling with pornography. After they got married, she discovered it. She freaked out completely. She moved out the house for a night or two, and she said to him, she's going to divorce him. If it ever, ever, ever happens again, she's going to divorce him. And she was obviously trying to help. She was trying to solve the problem. But unfortunately, that didn't help. That didn't help. Threatening him didn't help. In fact, it made it worse, because then the man decided, okay, he can't speak to his wife. She's going to divorce him and freak out again. So he kept it quiet. It became a secret. And for about, say, 8-9 years, they didn't talk about it. And then someday they had to talk about it, because it instead of an issue, it became a monster in their marriage. And the big reason for that was that even though the wife tried to help, even though she thought this is now going to solve the problem by threatening him and by saying, I'm going to divorce you, it didn't help, because she didn't give him grace. She didn't, and by grace, I'm not saying we say it's fine or we approve of it. By grace, by giving grace, we say, I believe that you have everything in you to overcome this. And we are going to overcome it together. And God has given you everything inside of you to overcome it. That is grace. That is extending grace. It's not, okay, it's fine, we'll live with it, you know. It's, you're not approving, you're not saying it's okay, but you're saying, I believe in you. I believe my God is bigger. My God is bigger. So if you discover it, I'll speak to the guys now, but just to the ladies, if you've ever been in a situation where you've discovered it, are you all right, eh? I know this is not the most popular topic in church, so please put on your seatbelt. Please bear with me. First of all, if you discover it as a woman, you didn't do anything wrong. You didn't do anything wrong. There's nothing wrong with you. It's not your fault. And listen to this. Your husband really loves you. He really loves you very, very, very much. Okay? And as a wife, you have to remind yourself that God is bigger than this. God is bigger than something like this. You see, but we have to communicate to our husbands or our boyfriend, because it can happen in a dating relationship as well. We have to communicate to them that we believe in them, and that we believe that together with God, there's going to be grace to overcome this. This is the message. This is the message that you have to communicate. It's hard. It's really hard. And it breaks a woman. It really breaks. You can really break somebody close to you. However, as a woman, you have to fight for the relationship. The moment you start fighting against your husband, or your boyfriend for that matter, if you meant to get married, you're pulling the house down, you're not building it. The moment you freak out, you're condemning him, and you're accusing him, and you're threatening him, it's not solving the problem. Once again, it can be any kind of issue in marriage. This is just the one I really felt I must talk about. And even if you discover it and it happens again, we have to extend grace. We have to keep on believing. We have to keep on believing. Something else, your husband is not the only one battling. Okay, it can happen very easily that you feel you are this isolated couple with this big issue and nobody else battles. It's not the truth. Okay, you are not, your husband is not the only one battling with this. And God has handpicked you. He has handpicked you to be married to your husband. Or to your wife, if there's maybe something else coming up. God has handpicked you. What does that mean? He will give you the grace. He will give you the ability to deal with this in a godly way. He will help you to build your house and not pull it down. You have been chosen to be married to your husband. Whether he can work with money or not, because that can be also a very, very real big problem. If your husband or your wife, they're bad financial stewards and they just spend this and they get you in trouble. I know about a situation, not in this congregation, somewhere else, where the husband is irresponsible with money. So he gets the family in trouble over and over and over. You know, that's as as big an issue. But if God has chosen you to be married to that specific man or woman, He's going to give you the ability and the grace to deal with it in a godly way. He is going to do it. All right? We have to give them grace. And I know Jesus said, if you look at the woman with lust, it's as good as if you committed adultery. But it's not adultery. Okay? I've had many people also saying that this is adultery. It's not adultery. Okay? Adultery is something much bigger to deal with. All right? It's much bigger to deal with. If we say it's adultery, then we must all be in jail because we hated somebody. Because Jesus also said, if you hate somebody in your heart, it's as good as murder. All right? There is a difference. Jesus was trying to make a point that it is a sin. And we all need a Savior. Okay? We can't save ourselves. We all need a Savior. So let go of all the pressure. Let go of any condemnation or guilt because we all need a Savior. We all have things that we battle with. We all have things that we need to take to the cross and say, God, I cannot deal with it in my own strength. But Jesus, you've made provision for me to deal with this. Okay? We have to separate, you have to separate the man in your life from the issue. As I say, whether it's pornography, whether it's dealing with money, whether it's just a passivity or an addiction to television or computer games, can also be a huge issue. You have to separate the man in your life that you walk in covenant with from the issue. You have to separate him. You have to say, I believe in you. You're going to overcome this. This is not who you are. And you've got the power as a woman to do that. You have the power in your hands to either break him or to build him up. You can pull down your house with your own hands, or you can build your house with godly wisdom. Amen. Let me just quickly speak to the guys. So ladies, I'm not saying this is fine, all right? I'm not saying this is fine. So guys, if you're battling with porn, and you think it's okay with God, you are deceived. All right? If you think it's not going to break the woman in your life, you're also deceived. It's going to break her. All right? It's going to destroy your heart. It's going to destroy your marriage. If you don't walk in the light, if you don't speak to somebody, if you hide it, you're not going to build your house. You're going to also pull it down with your own hands. All right? So you have to walk in the light. And your wife can't be your primary accountability partner in this thing. It's going to break her. Yes, girls, if your husband battles, he must be able, he must have an open door to speak to you from time to time. By that I mean maybe once a year, maybe once every 2 years, maybe once every 6 months if you are okay with it. Your husband, you can't speak to your wife all the time. Therefore, you have to find yourself somebody that you can speak to. You have to pick up the phone if necessary. You have to do whatever it takes. You have to put a filter on your phone, on your computer. If you don't know what I'm talking about, please speak to the men, speak about these things. Put a filter on your phone. If your phone software or operating system, whatever they call it, is not compatible with a filter, get yourself another phone. And I'm very serious if I say it. You know, the Bible says, if your hand causes you to sin, you cut it off. Okay? I don't care if you like your phone or not. You don't gamble. Do not gamble with fire, with something that's going to destroy your house and your family. Don't think it's not going to destroy your family. It's going to destroy your family. All right? And putting boundaries in place is not necessarily going to solve the problem. We do it by God's grace. And this is one thing, you know. All of us have different kind of issues that can affect your marital relationship or your dating relationship or your parent, like a child-parent relationship. If it's a habit, you can't just drop. We have to take it to the cross. We have to say, God, I need your help. We have to humble ourselves. God says he will give grace to the humble, but he's going to resist the proud. So humility is our friend. Okay? Humility is good. Humility is our friend. So guys, God has called you for more than being trapped in pornography. He's called you for more. There's destiny inside of you. There's destiny inside of you. God wants to use you powerfully to impact this town, this nation, and even the world. He wants your children to impact the world. God has called you for more than being trapped by an addiction. And if it's maybe another addiction, God has called you for more than that. There's inside of you, there's a man of honor. There's a man of destiny. There's a man of integrity. There's a man who's going to raise his, who's going to lead his family powerfully, who's going to build his house, whose kids are going to follow him with all of his heart. You are called for more than this. But ladies, we have to believe that our husbands are called for more than this. Whatever freaks you out, if it's the towel on the floor or the whatever, they called for more than that. But it starts in our own hearts. You see, if we believe that this is who they are, this is who they're going to stay, we're going to pull our houses down because it will lead to division in our hearts. We should never, ever come to a place where we are like Michal looking through a window, despising our husbands and thinking, I don't want to do anything with you and your issues. Because it's a dangerous place for us as women, and it can very easily happen. Where you come to a point where you say, I'm so embarrassed by you, so just sort out yourself. Do whatever it takes, but I'm not in it anymore. It's a very dangerous place. It can lead to division, and you will pull your house down, you see. And then it will not be the issue that will pull your house down. It will be the division in your heart that will pull the house down. The Bible says a house divided cannot stand. But where there's unity, God commands a blessing. So even in a situation where you discover something in your partner that is really serious and it freaks you out, we have the power to choose unity or division. So it's not going to be the issue that pulls your house down. It's going to be division, because a house divided cannot stand. But in the midst of any issue, any challenge, in a covenant relationship, God can command a blessing if we stand together. Amen? He will command a blessing when we stand together. So just one last thing. I said, how do we build our houses? We choose unity, which means we let go of our reputations, and we extend grace. We extend grace, which means we say, we believe. We believe you're going to overcome this. What we also have to do, I'm not going to spend much time on this because we have spoken about it in the past, but we build our houses when we abide in the vine. Everything flows from our time with the Lord. Everything. You know, and in my own life, I've been running around many times in my life, work, lots of commitments and things in my life. I've come to a place where I can't neglect my time with the Lord anymore. I can't. Because I step into a very, very vulnerable place. Very vulnerable place. Where I'm very open to fear, to anxiety, I'm just not in a good space. So for me, it's not something I have to do anymore. It's not like, oh, I have to read my Bible, or I have to pray because otherwise, you know, my to-do list is not ticked as a Christian. I've come to a place where I just can't live without it anymore, because I've seen what happens to me if I don't abide in the vine. I'm useless, all right? The scripture says in John 15, I'm unproductive. I'm unproductive. I'm just not what God destined me to be. It says, abide in me and I in you, which means we spend time with the Father. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches, and he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. You see, if you're by nature a patient person, it's going to take you up to a point. If you're by nature a kind person or a friendly person, in your own strength, you would be able to do it up to a certain point. You're going to run out. You're going to run out of patience sometime. And this is why Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. All of these things, it's an automatic outflow. It's like an apple tree. It's not like, I have to bear apples. I have to bear apples. I have to bear apples. I mean, it's just happening. It's an apple tree. You see, we have to abide in the vine. And all of these things is going to come much more easier. Sometimes we try so hard. We try so hard. All that we actually just need to do to build an environment where our families can flourish is to abide in the vine. You see, relational problems is an outflow of personal problems. If you have marital problems or relational problems, I almost want to say 80% of those problems could be contributed to a personal problem, which could be fixed if we just draw near to the Lord on a constant and regular basis. Okay, running around to try and be the perfect mother, the perfect wife, and us as women really want to do that. We want to please everybody around us. Running around trying to please everybody is not going to build your house. In the long term, we're going to pull it down because we're going to run dry. We have to abide in the vine. You see, it gives us capacity to love. It gives us capacity to believe again in somebody who has a weakness, who has messed up. It gives us the capacity to love again, to believe again, to hope again. It softens our hearts. It softens our hearts. We'll look at our spouse and we would be able to say, this is really hard for me to deal with this now, but I love you and I believe in you, and together we can overcome this issue. But if you're not in the vine, if you're not connected to the source, and you're trying to deal with these kind of things in your own strength, it's really hard. It's really difficult. So this is, you know, if we only abide in the vine when it comes to seeking wisdom for our families, we will build our houses. We will. We will build it. We'll not pull it down. You see, so are we willing to build our houses God's way? I want you to think about it. Because sometimes we are willing to do it God's way up to a point. And then we say, okay, no, God, let me take over now. Let me take over, I know better. You know, are we willing to humble ourselves and say, God, maybe your way is better than my way. Maybe your heart and your purposes and your plans for us as a family, I need to somehow spend time with you to understand it. So let's humble ourselves this morning. Amen. Let's humble ourselves. Let's just say, God, we all have things to deal with. But, I mean, surely all of our hearts are to build our houses and not pull it down in ignorance. Amen.